Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and this is Earnestly Speaking, and this is 103.9 FM Long Island News Radio. And we're talking to Savio Chan. He's the president of U.S.-China Partners. And essentially what you do is make it easier for people to do business with China.
Well, Ernie, thanks for having me in here first. And I think that the best analogy of what we do is we like the easy pass for people doing business in China from America. So we'll help you, tell you where to go, who to meet.
Well, people have been telling me where to go for a long time.
But make sure you get there without any pain. And we won't go the wrong way. We'll get you there in the shortest time, save a lot of money and hassle, and meet with the right people.
Now, culturally, the two peoples are very, very different. And that's a problem, isn't it?
Well, I would say you're absolutely right, Ernie. I think that the knowledge that we have about Chinese or Chinese people or culture in America is as limited to fortune cookies.
Yeah, well,
that's all we know about, you know, China and Chinese people. And
is there anything more complex?
And in fact, the fortune cookies actually is an American invention. It's not even in China. But long story short is, yeah, it's very different. You know, Chinese people and culture are very different than America. American people are one, two, three, you know, straight line thinking, very logistic, very logical thinking people. So they get from point A to point B in the fastest time, right? 1, 2, 3, right? A, B, C. Chinese people are very holistic. We look at the whole picture from beginning to the end. We look at all the issues all at once. And we like to think that way. And we also like to decide things on a group dynamics, which means we consult with different people before we make a decision.
You know, and it's interesting. I had a client years ago who did business with the Japanese. I don't know if it's all of, you know, the Asian mentality, but it might be similar. What he said when he had a meeting was that the people sitting across the table would say yes and nod their head, yes. But and at the end, he thought he had a deal. What they were really saying is, I hear you.
That's absolutely true. Because the language barrier and the command of English for most Chinese middle class or middle aged men or women, they don't learn English. So
the kids do, I bet.
Right, the kids do, but the parents don't. So they're limited in the command of language, and they're also very polite by nature. Mm. And we are also never confrontational. So even if we disagree with you, we will not say no to your face. Even though we don't like you, we say you're fine. And now in China, I coach my clients to tell them that when they say maybe, it means impossible. when they say let me think about it, that means you have no deal. So, but they say, well, Samuel, they told me that they say maybe, and they say they think about it. I say, duh. Don't take it at face value.
I want to tell you something. Things are really not that different. I was a salesman. I knew I'm going to think about it. I'm going to talk to my accountant. I'm going to ask my wife. All meant take a hike. No.
I always remember one of my Chinese clients was getting a lot of cold call from this, you know, stockbroker not too long ago. And he just tried to be very polite.
Yeah.
And instead of telling him, no, don't call me again, he would say, oh, it's very difficult, it's this and that. He would just dance around in 1,000 miles and never say no. And I told him, just tell them no and F off, you know, and tell them that in their face. Americans appreciate honesty and directness.
Well, you know, they say there's two good answers at a sales call. The other one is yes. The other one's no. Because now you know you just have to find another client.
That's right.
Or a potential client.
That's correct. And there's nothing worse than a delay no, yeah, over a long period of time. That's painful.
But you're saying that culturally the Chinese people are more prone to being indirect.
That's correct. That's correct. They would try everything to not to say no to you.
Yeah.
And they would try to say yes to you, and they nod their head, they smile at you. They're very polite, and they think, oh, everything's going really well.
So what you do is you take your American clients and you say, This is the interpretation of what you just
well,
got.
In fact, I take my American clients, I will first have them go through a training with me, a cultural training with me, to advise them what to do when they deal with Chinese people or business people. Why gifting, by bringing a gift, is very important to the whole process. What kind of gifts do you bring? What kind of gifts is a no-no? For example,
one of my
big chairman of a big real estate company, a well-known guy, you know, make a big mistake. He went to China to see this big chairman to close a big deal. And lo and behold, he has no time. He's too busy. He, as his secretary, go to Tiffany and buy a gift. And so he bring this beautiful gift in a blue box, Tiffany blue box, went to China, you know, flew to Beijing, met the chairman, have a nice dinner with him. And at the end, give him this box of beautiful Tiffany gift. And the Chinese will never open your gift in front of you. It's not polite. Unlike the American, will open it right in front of you. So,
and then you say, "You cheapskate!" What?
No, actually, he's not cheap. By the way, he was so he came back to America in New York, and he tried to follow up with the chairman. So call him, no response. He emailed him, no response. He faxed him, no response. It's radio silence. So he said, "This is strange. I have a great meeting with him. I brought him a beautiful gift. I spent $400 on a gift from Tiffany, you know, and this you Chinese people are unbelievable. You don't even respond to me. What's going on?" So he kept trying for 2 weeks, 2 months, nothing going on. So he's perplexed. So he called me up to say, "Xavier, I got to tell you, your Chinese people are strange." I said, "Why you say that?" He said, "Well, because, you know, we have a nice meeting with you guys in China and bar, nothing going on." I said, "Well, what kind of gift did you give him?" He said, "Well, I don't even know." So he called his sister and said, "What did they give you? Did you buy for me at Tiffany?" "Oh, we bought you a beautiful silver clock. And we engraved the chairman's name on the clock for him." I said, "Oh, it's a clock, Savio." I said, "What did you buy? A clock?" I said, "Oh my God, no wonder." I said, "Why? What's wrong with the clock?" I said, "Well, nothing wrong with other culture. But in China, if you give a clock to a friend of yours, that means you want him to die. A clock rhymes with death. And you engrave his name like a tombstone onto the clock. That's even the dead. That's no good. You want him to die?" And he just doesn't understand why you have no sensitivity about this basic cultural thing and give him a clock. He won't see you anymore. Goodbye.
But, okay, I understand this lack of communication there. Couldn't that be rectified by you saying, "This guy is so oblivious to our culture that he didn't know he was hurting your feelings. He didn't know that he was making an insult." Now, can't you explain that?
Well, of course you can. I mean, in fact, what happened, the chairman actually flew back in person and apologized in person the next day. And it took 6 months to get the things back on track again. But yes, of course, people are reasonable. But they would also assume that if you're 5,000-7,000 miles, Ernie, to come and see me in my office in Beijing and have dinner and lunch with me, and we negotiate about $100 million deal, you will at least have the sensibility to do a little bit of homework about what to buy, what not to buy, if you're giving me a gift, right? And preparations is big for Chinese people. And if you go to a meeting to meet with you, won't you Google you first and do all the preparations? Of course you will. I think that is a matter of lack of understanding, but we have a major lack in American about Chinese and Chinese culture at all. We just know about fortune
cookies. So what are you saying, that with a little bit of research, we could do better?
Well, we should do a lot better, but talk to the right people who can help you and guide you. And it's not about expensive gift. It's about giving the right gift that's not made in China, you know? Why you want to go there and give them a T-shirt that made in China or a pen that made in China? They will not appreciate that. Yeah. You know, they want something from America if you want to give them a gift, right? So that's common sense.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing this?
10 years.
10 years. And you're a native of China. You are, what part of China are you from?
Well, I was from Hong Kong.
Okay. Well, that's a kind of part of a China where you would really have a lot of contact with the West.
Yes, I did. Because you know, Hong Kong for many years is a British colony.
Right.
And so we learned English at a young age, even though this is what we call the Queen's English and not the American English. But it's very similar. So I adapted to the American, you know, way of speaking.
But shouldn't you be speaking with a British accent?
Yeah, I think that's more elegant. but I think that to make my American friend more comfortable, I just speak like, you know, Piers Morgan.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not in favor these days.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? I don't know if I would go there. But I think it's interesting that, and we're going to talk about it some more in the second segment, how you take for granted that these differences are always going to make a big difference. And I'm going to go into that in a little bit later. This is Ernie Fazio. This is Ernest Lee speaking. We're talking to Savio Chan. He's the president of the U.S.-China Partnership. And we've been talking about some pretty interesting things. And we have here the China Super Consumer, what 1 billion customers want and how to sell it to them. This is Ernie Fazio. Thank you for listening.